Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for sticking and staying with us right here at WCCL Radio. I am your host today, Geralyn Steele. I call it Steele Talkin', and it's all about you. It's all about what's happening in the news. Sometimes we just talk about a little bit of everything. Well, my producers do a great job, and Jonathan Lowe and Chris Tubbs, you can call them Chris Tubbs and Jonathan Lowe. Bottom line is that they do a great job, and I'm so honored to have them as my producers. How are you, Jonathan?
Hanging in, getting over a little something that I caught at the end of the week. So just recovering a bit.
You know, I've been talking to several of my friends and acquaintances, and they were saying the same thing. Oh my gosh, I haven't been feeling well, but it's not COVID. You know, I'm not. It's not COVID.
I did test negative. So,
How many times did you test yourself?
I tested myself once. I didn't get out to any of the sites, but I bought a couple of home tests that I have used in the past, and so I used one of those and came up negative.
You know, I find it really interesting that they have changed up some of the boxes that hold and carry those the test to see if you have it. And I got confused after COVID in 2020. Then in 2021, I'd say maybe May or June or July, all of a sudden these new boxes started coming out. And I kept thinking, really? Why? Don't mix us up. You know, has something changed? Is it a different vaccine? A different way of testing yourself to see if you have it. So I asked a few friends, do you guys still have some of those boxes that, you know, you were used to seeing the box, the pictures on it or the whatever color it was? And people are like, well, it didn't annoy me. As long as I can get the test, I'm fine. So then I finally calmed down.
And it's one of those things where you have a lot of different manufacturers trying to provide these tests, and we were trying to figure out what the best way to test was, what the most accurate way to test was. So for me, it's not necessarily, oh, there's new boxes, I'm getting confused by it. It's, oh, there's new boxes, there's new ways to test it out. Is there a better way than what we had before? Is there a more efficient way? Is there a different way where you're not having to do a nasal swab? Can you do it with, you know, I don't think they've come up with like a finger prick type thing like you would do like for blood sugar, but stuff like that. There's just different things that are being developed. And so with something, so if this was something that had been changed for tetanus or rubella or whooping cough or something like that, where we've known about it for a long time, I'd have more concern about something that's really been about 2.5 years in our conscious.
Right. And I get that. Some people have been very uncomfortable with the idea of doing the tests because, of course, there have been negative positives that have been happening with some of them. But I just keep testing myself until I say, okay, I've had 3 negative ones, then I'm good. You know, that's how I think of it. I don't know what else to do because they say just keep trying to make sure because of those negative, positive, or positive, negative test results. And so they encourage us to do that. These have become a little more expensive. They're now almost $25 at Walgreens and some of the other pharmacies. And I keep saying to myself, you know, just pick up some when you need some. And I was so grateful that President Biden sent like 2 packets of 4 tests in each. So it gave Americans 8 the ability to have 8 tests in their home. And I just thought that was fantastic. Were you able to get those?
I did not at the time. At the time, I was not. Part of it was I wasn't feeling bad at the time. I hadn't really come down with anything for a little while. The other part of it was, I don't, the shelf life, I don't know how long these things are truly meant to last. And I understand.
Well, they have dates on them when they expire.
Yeah, I know. You're stuck between two worlds. Yeah, you want to be stocked up for whenever you need it. But if you don't have it for a while, if a year or two passes, then the tests, won't they be wasted? Because won't the sell-by date, so to speak, have passed? So it's kind of weird in that it's not like you're going out to get food and you're saying, oh, this food is in here, you know, for less than a week because I'm going to eat it.
So have we reached herd immunity? Do you know?
I haven't heard, no pun intended, I'm sorry for the listening audience out there. I haven't heard if we've reached herd immunity. I still have my sense of humor, as bad as that may be. This hasn't affected
awful.
My brain that much.
Well, you know, your brain might have been infected earlier. So, you know, maybe you've gotten better.
Wow.
That was pretty good, Jonathan. That was pretty good.
That is, wow.
Yeah, that might be something Michael would say. By the way, the Mom and Michael Hour is happening tonight.
Oh, my goodness.
Michael is joining us, and I'm so excited about that. Michael and Jonathan. There you go.
I'm just going to lay back and let y'all go at it and just try to break when necessary.
See, no. Unless Michael says something that piques your interest, and then you jump right in.
Nope. I'm going to resist temptation tonight.
No,
I'm going to resist.
Why?
I'm just going to chill out, get some of the fake popcorn I have here and relax and enjoy the show.
What does fake popcorn taste like?
That's a good question. I don't know.
You really don't have fake popcorn, right?
Cotton candy? I don't know. No,
you're kidding about this, right?
Yeah, I don't have popcorn here. No, I don't have popcorn here. That's why I said fake popcorn, because I don't have any real popcorn in front of me.
Oh, it's a lie. Got it. Okay. Sorry. I didn't understand.
It's an exaggeration. It's not a lie.
In my church, it would have been an embellishment. Right. Hey, did you go to church today?
No.
You remember how I used to ask you that question like every other Sunday?
You did, yes.
I did, and I finally stopped. Why did I stop?
I don't know.
I think Jonathan said, Charlene, you don't have to ask me that anymore. No, I'm not going to church.
That probably sounds accurate.
But here's the deal. You could actually go online and be involved in whatever faith you are.
I am aware of that.
You could be an atheist, you know.
I
can't imagine that, but
I think both of my parents actually do the online church thing right now.
Yeah.
On Sundays they may go or they may not go, but they'll watch a sermon. Most Sundays, as far as I can remember,
right.
and they'll watch it online. It has, I can imagine, especially since March of 2020, that has become a pretty popular thing.
A very popular thing. My mother has been really, it's been a blessing for this family because our mother is not able to always go to church, but lately she's gone three times in the last month. And that's two times in the last month. And that's extraordinary for Mom with some of her health challenges. So, you know, we surprised my brother Fred. He's the music director at the church he goes to. And Mom said, let's go surprise him. And my goodness, it was so wonderful. We were so happy to see him there. So, yeah, it's pretty special when you can not just watch online, but to actually get in the car or walk close to a church that's near you and actually participate. Even if you're silent, you're still participating.
Usually, yeah, because you're actively listening and taking in the sermon. So you're...
Hopefully.
Your word, not mine.
No, seriously.
I'm not going to smite the Lord as much as I've already smite the Lord right now.
Did you say I'm not going to... What?
Smite.
You said the Lord.
Yeah.
Wow.
More than I've smitten
Let there
I've
be fake
the
popcorn.
Right now,
I think it's just showering down on you right now. I know we have to take a break, so I'm going to shut up. And Jonathan will do his thing. We'll be back.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
It is now 7:20 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to Steele Talking. I'm your host, Geralyn Steele. It is what I love to do is be here with you on a Sunday night. And I do hope that you're having as much fun as Jonathan and I are having often. Now, sometimes we have to talk about a few things that are quite sad. We will be talking tonight about September 11th. Of course, the anniversary just hit. And it is, you know, you realize that right now, today, I'm sure some of you got up ready to go to church thinking about where you were, what you did, how you found out about September 11th. And we're going to talk about that later in the show. We do hope that you will stick and stay with us and call in if you want or text us here at WCCO. We love it when you do so. So thank you so much for listening and always supporting us here at CCO. This is the 21st anniversary of September 11th. Jonathan, it doesn't even feel like it's 21 years. I was very shocked to read that.
It's weird because now yes. I've basically lived half and half. Half of my life before September 11th and almost half of my life after, because I was 21 when that happened. I was a couple months shy of turning 22, but I was 21 when that happened.
That's so amazing.
By this time next year, I'll have lived more of my life in a post-September 11th world than a pre.
I'll never forget. I was taking Michael to the private school he was going to, and I'll never forget that, you know, on our way, you know, we start seeing interesting flights in the air and that sort of thing, but we didn't say much about it to each other. And we get to the school, and it's really peaceful and quiet. We're running late. Michael was always running late. And we go inside the building. And I'm sorry, I should have started before, because I'm the one that saw it on television before we got in the car. And I said, come on, Michael, I'm going to get you to the school, because it was a military school, right? I said, we're going to get you to the school. And we go in, and I go straight into the office, and I say, okay, everybody knows about what happened in New York, that we've been attacked. And they all went, what? No one in the school that I talked to knew about it. And all of a sudden, the next thing I knew, they canceled school, that people had to call, the buses were called in, parents were called and contacted, and it just was unbelievable. Michael and I were so silent in the car when we were going home. Coming in, we were laughing and talking. I was trying to keep him, you know, up tempo. He's going to school, and they're going to have to talk about this. But man, when we left there, it was just silent in the car. It really was. So I will never forget that silence, and I will never forget how thankful I was that we remained safe here in Minnesota. But we all know that many people, including Minnesotans, had adverse effects from it all, and people are still talking about it. I have to tell you, though, Jonathan, I'm not comfortable talking about it all the time, like every year. I'm not comfortable, and I don't know why. What do you think?
I haven't gotten to a point where I'm not comfortable talking about it. It is an event that happened in this nation's history, just like December 7th, 1941,
yeah.
And Pearl Harbor. And just like you could talk about the Civil War in Gettysburg, you could talk especially Gettysburg, which was basically the bloodiest battle of the Civil War. You could talk about the day that John F. Kennedy was assassinated. You could talk about the day that Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, or Robert F. Kennedy was assassinated, or Malcolm X was assassinated.
That's right.
Or Abraham Lincoln. It is a date in time, and I happened to be alive during that. Another one that people will forget, I was really young when it happened, but I remember it on that day, was the day the Challenger exploded in 1986.
I remember that. Oh, my goodness. That was terrifying to see the pictures.
It's hurtful to talk about painful events. I think overall, in a whole sense, more of us want to talk about the positives in life than the negatives in life. We focus on the negatives, but I think deep down we really want to keep the positives forefront. Right. I think that's just what anybody wants to do. But it's something that we have to do most of the time.
Well, I tell you, you know, the compassion that came out of Americans from that event on September 11th was remarkable. Do you remember the Congress standing on the steps singing God Bless America?
I forgot about that, actually.
Yeah.
I did.
I mean, they changed all of the – because this was – I'm trying to remember when George W. Bush and let me think, because that was in – what year was that? That September 11th happened
2001.
Years ago. 2001. So yes, the 2000 election for that, president.
Yeah, that had already happened.
But I'm saying that we were not together. We were so divided.
Correct. Yeah, right? It had been less than a year. It had been less than 8 months since that happened, because that whole process of the hanging chads and the recount in Florida went over the new year and into January. And so I don't think we were 8 months past that yet.
Yeah, well, I remember that we came together that day. And I had never seen us come together that day after having such a difficult time with the election.
It was
so many people were divided on it. So it was remarkable to me to watch it all happen.
It put a lot of petty stuff behind us, at least for a little while.
Not for long.
But at least – through the rest of that day, and I'd say into the next day, it put a lot of petty stuff behind us, because I would say partially due to fear and partially due to somber recognition, we understood that life was really, really fleeting, and we didn't know when it was going to come, when it was going to end. And so I think a lot of people were awakened by that fact of the shock of it all, showing us how fragile life was.
How fragile we are. Not just life, but how fragile we are.
Yeah,
Every one of us, individually.
If we got no life, then we ain't we.
No. But what I'm saying is, if we all thought of each other as being fragile, we'd take better care of each other.
I think that's a well placed statement, a good statement. I think that's something that we should try to live by.
Yeah, we should
trying to make us live by it.
Yeah, it's not working out.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back. Welcome back, everyone. My first guest tonight is Sue Abderholden. Abderholden. She's the executive director at NAMI Minnesota. Well, who is NAMI Minnesota? Well, of course, we know that they are the National Alliance of Mental Illness. And we've talked with her before, and I'm excited to have her join us tonight. And she joins us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker hotline. It is so great to have you back, Sue. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me.
So much going on, so little time, it seems, to heal from it all. And I'm wondering how you're doing.
Well, I'll be honest, you know, it's been a tough year for me, and of course for many people as well. People might not know I lost my husband a little over a year ago, and so, you know, I think I can really understand what people have gone through, especially during the pandemic with so many lives lost.
I am so sorry to hear of your loss, and I've been through some loss myself, and it's just, it's hard to shake, but I know that what you do at NAMI is an incredibly important job, and I'm grateful that you're still there. And of course, last month, tragedy struck at the Shields located inside Eden Prairie Center. I'm sure you know about that. And according to police reports, a young man went into the sporting goods store, asked to see a handgun, then took off. He allegedly loaded his own ammunition into the gun and shot himself in an apparent suicide. When I heard this story, my heart broke. And I'm just curious to know, when you heard this story, did you feel as though NAMI wasn't present enough, or maybe people didn't turn to you fast enough because you knew that there must have been some type of mental illness that was happening in this man's heart and head?
Yes, I mean, and my heart just goes out to the family and for people who had to respond to his death as well. I mean, that's never easy. And we do know that, you know, either someone is, you know, has a mental illness, there's maybe depression, or there's some crisis that occurred, you know, an argument, a breakup, you know, a divorce. You know, at some point, we know sexual or physical abuse can play a role. Someone's a little bit more vulnerable at this point. And so I was very saddened to hear this. Absolutely.
It seems as though we just don't pay attention enough. Even with your organization, it almost feels like a lot of people think, okay, there are organizations that can handle this sort of thing. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to talk about it. And that, to me, is sad, because I think we all learn. We've been hearing about guns, you know, for years now. And it's so frustrating because nothing seems to be getting done. And I'm just curious to know, how does NAMI handle a situation like this? How do you talk about it?
Well, what we want people to know is that suicide is preventable. And certainly we can look for those warning signs, right? You know, changes in habits and things like that. But the other thing is, we also need to look at how can we restrict access to the means that people use to take their own life. And what we know about suicide, especially, frankly, when guns are used, is that there's an impulsivity that's there. And that often, you know, people are thinking about suicide and then they decide to take their own life. And one of the studies actually showed that 24% of the people said that it was less than 5 minutes between when they thought about taking their own life and when they attempted it. Mm-hmm. And so if we think about how can we, you know, prevent those few minutes, right? What can we do to make it harder? And so we certainly talk about gun locks, right? That makes it much harder. Certainly separating the ammunition from the guns. Sorry, I don't know who is calling me on my home phone.
Oh,
which never rings. The marketers are really heavy tonight.
No. Some friend of yours is calling going, you sound great. that could be it.
Well, and you know, actually the Veterans Hospital also has this really brilliant idea. It was called Freeze the Keys. And so what you would do is you would take the keys to your gun locks, right, your cabinet, and you would put them in this little container, and you would fill the container with water and put it in your freezer. Now, certainly, you know, if you're hunting the next day, you take it out so that, you know, it can defrost and you can use your keys. But if in a moment of despair, it's going to take a little while. You can't put it in the microwave, right, because it's metal. And it's going to take a little while to actually defrost it. So it really is, you know, kind of a way, again, we call it means restriction education. What was interesting is that in New Hampshire, they actually did a whole project on this. And it was called the gun shop. And they worked with, you know, gun owners and gun shops and target, you know, places, all those kinds of things to come together to really educate people about the warning signs of suicide, when someone might be vulnerable, and what you can do to keep access to those lethal means, you know, very restricted.
So many Americans have more than one gun, that's for sure. And I'm terrified at the number of guns that we have here in our country. Now, according to the Educational Fund to Stop Gun Violence, 3 out of every 5 gun deaths is ruled a suicide. That is just tragic to hear. I'm moved to tears over that when I read it earlier. So I'm wondering what efforts are being made to bring those numbers down.
So it's interesting. In Minnesota, actually, the number is higher. So the preliminary data that they were looking at is that 70 to 80% of firearm deaths in Minnesota are actually due to suicide. And so what we're seeing is, like in Minnesota, the Department of Public Safety, they're using some of the federal funds to actually give out gun locks. They had 10,000 of them that I think they distributed all of them at the state fair. And we're going to be partnering with them to talk about, there's an actual class called CALM, and it's about means restriction education. And so we want to make sure that, you know, if someone shows up in an emergency room and perhaps they've attempted or they're feeling suicidal, right, that we educate people actually about restricting access to lethal means.
Hmm. It is just, I don't know, it feels like we're not moving any closer to a way to stop it all. I don't know if it's the laws that need to be changed, but there are so many guns. And if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it okay to bring a gun as long as it was obvious, as long as the people could see it and check it when they came through the gate? Am I wrong with that?
I'm not sure about that one, to be honest, but you know, we actually have quite a few laws in Minnesota that restricts access to guns, you know. So if someone's been involved and has a felony, a domestic violence misdemeanor, if they've been committed, you know, for a mental illness, you can't own a gun. Now, some states have done what they call red flag laws. when we look at, you know, kind of nationwide about access to guns, Minnesota's rate in terms of gun death rates are actually pretty low compared to some other states. Ours is 6.0. Idaho is 15.1.
Hmm. That's remarkable. And of course, you know, the murders that have been happening in our state has just escalated.
Right.
And that's right. Frustrating. So I'm just curious to know, what can you tell us tonight? Tell our listeners that would calm folks down, because they know that these things are happening. We're reading the articles when it happens, or we're listening to the radio. And some people cocoon in their homes where they feel safe. They will not be the ones, if they have guns, they won't be the ones. If they're terrified, they're not going to be the ones to freeze a gun, because they're worried that if they need it in the middle of the night, they won't be able to use it.
Right, right. You know, again, though, it should be really locked up.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. My first guest tonight is Sue Abraham. I'm going to get it right. I know her. I know I could get it right, Sue. Abderholden. She's the executive director at NAMI Minnesota. Well, who is NAMI Minnesota? Well, of course, we know that they are the National Alliance of Mental Illness. And we've talked with her before, and I'm excited to have her join us tonight. And she joins us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker hotline. It is so great to have you back, Sue. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me.
So much going on, so little time, it seems, to heal from it all. And I'm wondering how you're doing.
Well, I'll be honest, you know, it's been a tough year for me, and of course for many people as well. People might not know I lost my husband a little over a year ago, and so, you know, I think I can really understand what people have gone through, especially during the pandemic with so many lives lost.
I am so sorry to hear of your loss, and I've been through some loss myself, and it's just It's hard to shake, but I know that what you do at NAMI is an incredibly important job, and I'm grateful that you're still there. And, of course, last month, tragedy struck at the Shields located inside Eden Prairie Center. I'm sure you know about that. And according to police reports, a young man went into the sporting goods store, asked to see a handgun, then took off. He allegedly loaded his own ammunition into the gun and shot himself in an apparent suicide. When I heard this story, my heart broke. And I'm just curious to know, when you heard this story, did you feel as though NAMI wasn't present enough, or maybe people didn't turn to you fast enough because you knew that there must have been some type of mental illness that was happening in this man's heart and head?
Yes, I mean, and my heart just goes out to the family and for people who had to respond to his death as well. I mean, that's never easy. And we do know that, you know, either someone is, you know, has a mental illness, there's maybe depression, or there's some crisis that occurred, you know, an argument, a breakup, you know, a divorce. You know, at some point, we know sexual or physical abuse can play a role. Someone's a little bit more vulnerable at this point. And so I was very saddened to hear this. Absolutely.
It seems as though we just don't pay attention enough. Even with your organization, it almost feels like a lot of people think, okay, there are organizations that can handle this sort of thing. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to talk about it. And that, to me, is sad, because I think we all learn. We've been hearing about guns, you know, for years now. And it's so frustrating because nothing seems to be getting done. And I'm just curious to know, how does NAMI handle a situation like this? How do you talk about it?
Well, what we want people to know is that suicide is preventable. And certainly we can look for those warning signs, right? You know, changes in habits and things like that. But the other thing is, we also need to look at how can we restrict access to the means that people use to take their own life. And what we know about suicide, especially, frankly, when guns are used, is that there's an impulsivity that's there. And that often, you know, people are thinking about suicide and then they decide to take their own life. And one of the studies actually showed that 24% of the people said that it was less than 5 minutes between when they thought about taking their own life and when they attempted it. Mm-hmm. And so if we think about how can we, you know, prevent those few minutes, right? What can we do to make it harder? And so we certainly talk about gun locks, right? That makes it much harder. Certainly separating the ammunition from the guns. Sorry, I don't know who is calling me on my home phone. Which never rings. The marketers are really heavy tonight.
No. Some friend of yours is calling, going, "You sound great." that could be it.
Well, and you know, actually, the Veterans Hospital also has this really brilliant idea. It was called Freeze the Keys. And so what you would do is you would take the keys to your gun locks, right, your cabinet, and you would put them in this little container, and you would fill the container with water and put it in your freezer. Now, certainly, you know, if you're hunting the next day, you take it out so that, you know, it can defrost and you can use your keys. But if in a moment of despair, it's going to take a little while. You can't put it in the microwave, right, because it's metal, and it's going to take a little while to actually defrost it. So it really is, you know, kind of a way, again, we call it means restriction education. What was interesting is that in New Hampshire, they actually did a whole project on this, and it was called the Gun Shop, and they worked with, you know, gun owners and gun shops and Target, you know, places, all those kinds of things to come together to really educate people about the warning signs of suicide, when someone might be vulnerable, and what you can do to keep access to those lethal means, you know, very restricted.
So many Americans have more than one gun, that's for sure. And I'm terrified at the number of guns that we have here in our country. Now, according to the Educational Fund to Stop Gun Violence, 3 out of every 5 gun deaths is ruled a suicide. That is just tragic to hear. I'm moved to tears over that when I read it earlier. So I'm wondering what efforts are being made to bring those numbers down.
So it's interesting. In Minnesota, actually, the number is higher. So the preliminary data that they were looking at is that 70 to 80% of firearm deaths in Minnesota are actually due to suicide. And so what we're seeing is, like in Minnesota, the Department of Public Safety, they're using some of the federal funds to actually give out gun locks. They had 10,000 of them that I think they distributed all of them at the state fair. And we're going to be partnering with them to talk about, there's an actual class called CALM, and it's about means restriction education. And so we want to make sure that, you know, if someone shows up in an emergency room and perhaps they've attempted or they're feeling suicidal, right, that we educate people actually about restricting access to lethal means.
Hmm. It is just, I don't know, it feels like we're not moving any closer to a way to stop it all. I don't know if it's the laws that need to be changed, but there are so many guns. And if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it okay to bring a gun as long as it was obvious, as long as the people could see it and check it when they came through the gate? Am I wrong with that?
I'm not sure about that one, to be honest, but, you know, we actually have quite a few laws in Minnesota, that restricts access to guns. You know, so if someone's been involved and has a felony, a domestic violence misdemeanor, if they've been committed, you know, for a mental illness, you can't own a gun. Now, some states have done what they call red flag laws. When we look at, you know, kind of nationwide about access to guns, Minnesota's rate in terms of gun death rates are actually pretty low compared to some other states. Ours is 6.0. Idaho is 15.1.
That's remarkable. And of course, you know, the murders that have been happening in our state has just escalated.
Right.
And that's right. Frustrating. So I'm just curious to know, what can you tell us tonight, tell our listeners, that would calm folks down, because they know that these things are happening. We're reading the articles when it happens, or we're listening to the radio, and some people cocoon in their homes where they feel safe. They will not be the ones. If they have guns, they won't be the ones. If they're terrified, they're not going to be the ones to freeze a gun, because they're worried that if they need it in the middle of the night, they won't be able to use it.
Right. Right. You know, again, though, it should be really locked up. You know, I know this is hard, but we want to make sure that no one, again, at a time of distress, takes that gun and takes their own life. And, you know, I think when we look at the statistics and things like that, you know, homicides are actually, you know, pretty low compared to suicide deaths. And the homicide rate has actually, while it seems like it's up, it's really down from like 1974. And so I think we just have to think about, are there some things that we can do, though, to really keep people safe? What we know is, when we look at, who's dying by suicide, it's prevalent in rural areas, men, American Indians, and Alaska Natives. But what we're also seeing in the last couple of years is that younger people, it's increasing, people of color, actually, and again, continuing to increase in rural areas where there tends to be more guns.
That's remarkable. I know in your mission, it talks about, you talk about through education, support, and advocacy, you strive to effect positive changes in the mental health system and increase the public and professional understanding of mental illnesses. And I am always surprised at how little we know about mental illnesses, unless you have someone in your family and you've been well educated on how or what to look for, that sort of thing. But so many of us really don't know how difficult the work is that you do, especially when it comes to suicide. And we know here in the great state of Minnesota, many people carry guns, and many people are afraid not to go without those guns on a daily basis. You know, every day. So I love that you are trying to do this through education, support, and advocacy. Is it working?
You know, I do think it is. One of the things we've seen, frankly, during the pandemic is that people are much more aware of anxiety and depression because most people experienced it, right? Even if it was just for a week or two during the pandemic. And we know that the actual rates have increased significantly. We're seeing employers for really the first time saying, what can we do to support the mental health of our employees? Even looking at things like their health plans to make sure that they have easy access to the mental health treatment that people need and deserve. So there's more conversation, honestly. I mean, I've been with NAMI, it'll be 21 years next month, and the level of conversation and I think awareness is higher than ever. And I think that's a good thing. We need to talk about it. We can't just be quiet about it.
Well, I've learned my lesson. I used to get on stage and perform, and I would always pick out some guy in the audience close up, and I'd say, you know, you want to come up and dance with me, or you want to come up and sing with me, and it would be just a funny thing to do. But I've learned that there are people mm-hmm. that may be in the audience who may have some of these struggles. And if you pick that particular person, then you better be careful, because you need to be educated to know exactly what to say or what to do. That I learned.
Mm-hmm. I think you raise a really good point. You know, a lot of us have taken first aid or CPR, and we need to do the same thing around mental health and suicide prevention. There's a class that's 90 minutes called QPR. It's evidence-based, question, persuade, and refer. We offer it online for free, virtually at least once a month. And, of course, this is Suicide Prevention Month, so it's a good time for people to, you know, kind of access that kind of training. But we all need to know what to say and what to do.
What to say and what to do. Do you offer classes?
Yes, for free. In person, but a lot virtually, especially, you know, because of the pandemic. And we also offer support groups led by peers. So there are ones for people who live with a mental illness that are led by people with mental illness, ones mm-hmm. for family members that are run by family members. And, you know, these can be tough situations. So talking to people who've been there, done that, right, can be really, really helpful.
So and, have you, you know, reached out to, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay, so do you ever reach out to theaters and clubs in town to maybe see if you can, you know, get them to know how to find someone in the audience, to know what it is that is happening and be educated on it so that they could have the right reaction to it? There are so many of us on the stage in this great state of ours, and I worry that now that I understand how this works, I worry about enough of us, just the artists alone. Enough of us knowing what to do if an incident happens in the audience. I suggest training. And I'm just saying, you can charge me. Yes. Train me. Seriously.
You know, we're happy to come out and do the training for free. When we do talk about, you know, kind of mental health in the workplace or mental health, we can do it mental health in the theater so that people kind of understand, you know, what those things are. But again, we've had Target stores have us come out to talk about, you know, how to help their guests who might be struggling or having a mental health crisis. So these are things that we can do. And again, if we know what to do, we know how to de-escalate the situation, we know how to help someone, that's what we need to do. You know, if we restrict access to lethal means, you know, if someone attempts once, the chances of them attempting again is very little. 9 out of 10 will not attempt again. And so if we save this life today, we may have saved them for the rest of their life.
Oh, my goodness. I am so happy that you came on tonight, Sue. Sue Abderholden, Executive Director of NAMI Minnesota. If you don't know who they are, please send them to your website. What is it?
Which is NAMIMNForMinnesota.org.
That's NAMIMN.org. It's been a pleasure, Sue. You take care of yourself.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on again.
You're welcome. All right, everyone, our next guest will be at 8:10, and I hope you'll stick and stay with us. We'll be back. Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Steel Talk, and as we wrap up this hour, I have to tell you, it's quite remarkable what we are going to talk about. Coming on at 8:10, my guest, first guest in the 8 o'clock hour, will be Anya McMurray, President COO, which is Chief Operating Officer, if you didn't know, and it's called Welcome Us. And I'm just interested in finding out how they are doing resettling here, right here in this great country. And I am amazed at them getting on the planes and just coming here. And I'm just hoping that they are doing well. We're going to find out more when we talk to Anya McMurray, and we hope that you will stick and stay with us. Jonathan, it is quite remarkable. We have so many people that have settled here from other countries around the world. And we don't really think about it. We don't think about how many there are that are here, how many immigrants have come, how many families, you know, how many have gone back to get family to bring them back in. It's just been remarkable. Yet we hear so much about one country, and it's always Mexico. Oh, they're walking across the border. I mean, come on, we have so many thousands and thousands, if not millions and millions, that are here from other countries for several reasons. And I'm just, I'm looking forward to talking with our guest, Anya, just to hear about how well the Afghans are doing here now. So that's going to come up soon. I am very interested in also finding out how is it that people will finally say, I want to welcome you. There are those who say it. Many of us say it. I welcome you here. But then there are those who don't. They see them as enemies, or they don't know enough about them. And that's one of the reasons I think we have a real challenge when people do not travel. Some people don't even travel across the Mississippi River from St. Paul to meet and greet Minneapolis. Right? I don't understand it. And they have that opportunity. We have the opportunity to go to St. Paul in the mornings during the week. If I am leaving to go and visit my grandchildren or to help watch them while my daughter and son-in-law are working, on that trip in the morning, you know, during rush hour traffic, there is so much more traffic going from St. Paul to Minneapolis than it is from Minneapolis to St. Paul. And I know that it changes up at the end of the day, and all of a sudden it's a whole lot of people, more people going to St. Paul and less coming to Minneapolis. I don't know how that works either, because to me it looks like it's the trips from that really go into Minneapolis that is quite remarkable to see. So here we go. Of course, we have to talk about this because we may have more coming into our country as the years come. So try to accept it. It's worth it. We'll be back. Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Steel Talk, and as we wrap up this hour, I have to tell you, it's quite remarkable what we are going to talk about. Coming on at 8:10, my guest, first guest in the 8 o'clock hour will be Anya McMurray, President COO, which is Chief Operating Officer, if you didn't know. And it's called Welcome Us. And I'm just interested in finding out how they are doing resettling here, right here in this great country. And I am amazed at them getting on the planes and just coming here. And I'm just hoping that they are doing well. We're going to find out more when we talk to Anya McMurray, and we hope that you will stick and stay with us. Jonathan, it is quite remarkable. We have so many people that have settled here from other countries around the world. And we don't really think about it. We don't think about how many there are that are here, how many immigrants have come, how many families, you know, how many have gone back to get family to bring them back in. It's just been remarkable. Yet we hear so much about one country, and it's always Mexico. Oh, they're walking across the border. I mean, come on, we have so many thousands and thousands, if not millions and millions, that are here from other countries for several reasons. And I'm just, I'm looking forward to talking with our guest, Anya, just to hear about how well the Afghans are doing here now. So that's going to come up soon. I am very interested in also finding out how is it that people will finally say, I want to welcome you. There are those who say it. Many of us say it. I welcome you here. But then there are those who don't. They see them as enemies, or they don't know enough about them. And that's one of the reasons I think we have a real challenge when people do not travel. Some people don't even travel across the Mississippi River from St. Paul to meet and greet Minneapolis, right? I don't understand it. And they have that opportunity. We have the opportunity to go to St. Paul in the mornings during the week. If I am leaving to go and visit my grandchildren or to help watch them while my daughter and son-in-law are working, on that trip in the morning, you know, during rush hour traffic, there is so much more traffic going from St. Paul to Minneapolis than there is from Minneapolis to St. Paul. And I know that it changes up at the end of the day, and all of a sudden, it's a whole lot of people, more people going to St. Paul and less coming to Minneapolis. I don't know how that works either, because to me, it looks like it's the trips from that really go into Minneapolis that is quite remarkable to see. So here we go. Of course, we have to talk about this because we may have more coming into our country as the years come. So try to accept it. It's worth it. We'll be back.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.